WWE.com.
Hey, this is Trish Stratus.
This is Showtime, Eric Young.
I'm Sonny DeMarello.
This is WWE Superstar The Miz.
It's me, DDP.
The greatest man that ever lived always likes a good rap, and you're listening to the greatest rap.
Stratisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
Can't you see them now, John? Can't you hear them singing? Can't you hear them singing with me? Brothers and sisters, he's got the whole in his hand. He's got the whole in his hand.
Covering all the latest in the WWE.
Oh, did someone not get what they wanted? Oh, that's too bad.
And TNA.
A lot of people around here, well, they consider us a bad influence. You know what? We're good with that.
Well, not bad meaning bad, but bad meaning good. An influence, as in we are the straws that stir the drink. We're in the position where the ladies want to see us and the fellas want to be us. They want what we have. They want to be where we are. And they're green with envy, just like my drink of choice. With your host,
sing with me, children.
Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
Oh my God, it's Taker, 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 Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And her producer, Sir Rocket.
Thank goodness for my believers. They have truly been the wind beneath my wings.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We're here.
Who's to know if your soul will fade at all? The one you sold to fool the world. You lost your self-esteem along the way.
Good God, you're coming up with reasons. Good God, you're dragging it out. Good God, it's the changing of the seasons. It feels so right. So follow me down and just fake it. You're out.
You're on WildTalkRadio.com. Our Twitter's our friends over at Wrestling Figure Wednesdays. Go to youtube.com/mbg1211 for all your action figure review needs and stop motion animation. Go there, if nothing else, because it's awesome. I am, of course, your host, Lindsay Warden. Joining me, as always, is my ever unbelievable producer, Sir Rockin.
I'm going to clip that because that's just awesome.
I figured. An early birthday present. How about that?
My birthday was 2 months ago.
For next year. You got another one coming around, don't you?
Yes, yes, I do. And
unless you're trying to hit at something.
Why would I be hitting anyway?
Anyway, hopefully that doesn't happen. But, yeah, so we have a lot to get into. We have a lot of news. I'm so terribly sorry. It's a ton. We're going to go into it. It's going to run long, so, you know, go get your favorite drink out of the fridge, maybe grab a snack, prop your feet up. It's going to take us a while. We've got discussions. Of course, we're going to talk about tonight's exciting NXT. But before we get to all that, we have to tell the question of the night, because we actually have one this week.
After a couple weeks, we finally back on track with the question of the night. And it's simple. What is your favorite Wyatt family moment in the last year? Because on Tuesday, it turned 1 year since they made their WWE debut, and we're going to get into that later in the program.
Boo Boo's been in the WWE a whole year,
and we're gonna celebrate it like only we can.
Because you know, like I totally need an excuse to talk about the Wyatts. You know.
I know. But
I even wore my "We're Here" shirt in their honor.
And ladies and gentlemen, that is a D-Day.
Yeah, actually, no, I wore it because it was clean. But
once again, that was a.
Yes, it was a fact. But now we're going to jump right into the news brought to you, of course, by our friends over at pwmania.com. Go there for all your news needs. And we have to talk about probably the biggest story, or one I should say, one of the biggest stories of the week. And that is, of course, the story that broke about Daniel Bryan. It has been, you know, we're going to give you a little bit of update on his health because we've been, you know, keeping track of the story for you guys if you haven't been keeping track of it for yourself. So, as everybody knows, Daniel Bryan had shoulder surgery done right before Extreme Rules. He was out for Extreme Rules. Or no, he was at Extreme Rules. I'm sorry. I can't keep my timeline right. He screwed up the show.
He had neck surgery right after Extreme Rules.
Neck, shoulder, that area.
in the, as they'd call it in hockey, so this is how they do it in hockey, and Tim will be happy about this. It's an upper body injury.
It's an upper body injury, yes. So Daniel Bryan went out for surgery right after Extreme Rules. I will get my facts right one of these days. And he has been out ever since. He was stripped of the WWE Championship because of the injury, and it is now on John Cena. And it was speculated for a while that Bryan's injury was much more severe than anybody was really letting on to. And it was leaking out also that he was having problems with rehab, that he wasn't regaining the strength in his arm, that he was having all kinds of problems. Well, it's now been confirmed that all of that is in fact true, and it's very unfortunate to hear. You never want to hear that the injuries are worse than what they actually are, but it seems that Daniel Bryan will have to undergo at least one more surgery, if not a few more, as the doctors have found that his neck and his shoulder are in much worse shape than anybody ever previously thought. And it's a very, very good possibility at this point that Daniel Bryan may not be back in 2014.
Which, if you think about it, that's kind of scary if you think. Like, he's not going to be back this year. Well, WWE has not come out and said, oh, yes, he's going under this shoulder surgery. I have the Lindsay disease right now.
Yes!
We're calling it hashtag Lindsay disease, trending worldwide on Twitter. That he's going to have the surgery, but if he does, and he's going to be out a few months for the shoulder or on the neck. 4 or 5 months ago was WrestleMania. He was at the height of his career. He was on the biggest roll of his career. And since that point, he got the title, and everything has just sort of gone downhill. And this, the learn that he may not be in action the rest of the year, it's like, whoa, we gotta take a step back here.
Yeah, you never want to hear that anybody's hurt, but worse than that, you never want to hear that it's going to cost them almost a year, potentially, of their career. Well, not a year, but 8 months of their career. You know, 8, 9. No. 6, 7, whatever. A good length of time on their career. Yes, I'm an idiot. I can't do math. Laugh at me all you want.
Ha ha.
But you never want to hear that for anyone, but especially a wrestler, and especially someone in Daniel Bryan's position, which is Daniel Bryan had broken through the glass ceiling. He was never supposed to get the title at Mania. It was supposed to be Batista. It was always supposed to be Batista, and then the WWE bowed to public demand and put the title on Bryan, and there was always doubts about Bryan as champion. There are still doubts about Bryan as a main event player, and you never want to hear this, that, you know, as he's breaking through, as he's on this high, as he's achieving his goal of being the man in the industry, that he gets hurt.
Yeah, you don't want to hear that. You really don't want to hear that.
And then on top of it, it's probably a bunch of nagging injuries he has had for years that are going to continue to hold him back. Because we all know Bryan. I'm sure the injuries that he's having to deal with right now are ones from earlier in his career where he worked through them. He probably didn't get them taken care of like he should have, which a lot of wrestlers do. And they always catch up to bite him in the ass later in their career.
Right.
And unfortunately, those nagging injuries, if that's the case, have come up and bit Bryan pretty hard. And like I said, you never want to hear this. I don't want to see Daniel Bryan out. I love to see Daniel Bryan. I was so happy to see him as champion and to see how they were going to continue that storyline, but unfortunately, it doesn't look like that's going to happen, as all plans for Daniel Bryan right now are being scrapped by the writing staff, or they're being put on hold depending on the situation. But there's an upside to this depending on when Bryan comes back.
Yeah, we'll get into that in a second. But yeah, the nagging injuries do catch up. He had a shoulder injury in 2012, I think it was.
Mm-hmm.
So it's where apparently he put it off, and it's just sort of, all right, now it's gotten worse and worse and worse, and it's just, they say your body has so many bumps in it. And there's, they also say your body tells you when you need to slow down. Daniel Bryan's body is now telling him, slow down.
It's telling him right now to stop.
Yeah, pretty much. Like, stop, do not pass go, do not collect $200. Go directly to hospital.
Yes, now.
Now.
But the upside to this is that he can now take care of the injuries. He has the time to take care of the injuries, and he has the time to potentially come back. That was always the concern with Brian, especially when he went out for the neck surgery, was that he would be rushed back, and he would go back in the ring too soon and wouldn't be 100% and would possibly hurt himself worse. Well, now that's not a concern, because he can take as much time as he needs to get better. And if Brian isn't going to be back in 2014, well, then that opens up possibilities that he might be back in time for the Rumble.
Again, none of this is fully confirmed that he's going to be out the rest of the year, but if the reports are true that he's out till for the rest of the year or going to be out for many more months, then yeah, the Rumble should be a target date, and he should be one of those guys that you can hype up and say he's going to be in the Rumble, or just make him a surprise entry in the Royal Rumble. You can spend time building him back up. Will he be at the same level he once was? Probably not, but when he makes that return, the fans will be, oh man, so behind
him. Oh, it's going to explode when Brian's back.
Yeah.
But the thing is if Daniel Bryan has to have shoulder surgery on top of potentially having another neck surgery, because they weren't sure if he was going to have additional neck surgery in addition to his shoulder, because I think it is definitely confirmed his shoulder is going to get worked on, then shoulder alone, I think, is like 3 to 4 months recovery.
Depending on what it is. Let's think about this. Wade Barrett's out with a separated shoulder, and he's going to be out months. Like,
yeah,
they didn't even give him a timetable. They just said months.
Yeah. It's never a fun thing, because you've got to put it back in, and then you've got to let everything set and heal, and you've got to be really careful about that kind of thing. So, yeah. It's entirely speculation how long Brian is going to be out, but I honestly do not expect to see Daniel Bryan before Survivor Series. I mean, and I'm even hesitant to say Survivor Series. I would actually more look towards the end of the year, beginning of 2015. I mean, I honestly think WWE could probably, at least in a wrestling role, stand to be without him for right now. Now they could use him in a non-wrestling role.
That's the tricky thing. Go ahead, finish your point.
And, you know, I would continue to maybe use him, have him show up on the pre-show and the post-show for the network, have him turn up at Raw and SmackDown, you know, have him show up, keep his name out there, keep talking about him, but, you know, you don't have to put him in the ring. Keep have him, you know, trying to rally against the authority.
See, that's, people have talked about this before even this latest news came out, that he should become the Steve Austin.
I don't think he should become as far as Steve Austin.
No. Take over the Steve Austin role, where when Austin was out injured with his neck, he would show up on Raw, he would cause havoc with the authority and that sort of thing.
No, I don't think he causes havoc, but it's like he shows up and he tries to get his message out and tries to keep his message out there. And, you know, it's the authority keeps putting him down, and you keep having Brian trying to verbally go against them, and then, you know, it's just, you don't have him do it in Austin's way, but you have him do it in his typical Daniel Bryan fashion. And that's if you want to do it like that. You know, it's something of, you can also hold him off TV for however long he's going to be out, and then you bring him back.
If it were me, I would keep him off of TV. Just because the anticipation of, if you keep bringing him back, and using him over and over again, they can't really do anything. You're sort of watering down the effectiveness of Daniel Bryan, and then when he's finally able to return, he's sort of like, he's been there. It's sort of like they do with John Cena. What does everyone say? John Cena should take a break. Whenever he gets injured, John Cena should stay out as long as he can to fully recover, because then when he comes back, we would have had that breather and be like, okay, John Cena's back. It's been 6 months instead of the 2.5.
Right.
So it's sort of, it's one of those things where just keep him. I would say the next time he should appear is if Brie Bella, if the rumors are true that Brie Bella is going to face off against Stephanie at SummerSlam, have him in her corner.
Works for me.
That's the next time where one of the next times he should appear unless they use on the build up to the match, etc. But beyond that, after SummerSlam, I would not want him on TV until he's ready to get back in the ring.
I can see that.
It would just make his return that more impactful because out of sight, out of mind, so when you hear the music, it's like, holy crap, he's here. You know?
He's back!
Yes! Yes!
Yes!
Yes!
Yes! But I tell you, speaking of yes, 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 I can tell you there are some other WWE talents, aside from Bryan, who's not involved in the story in any way, that aren't going yes, yes, yes. In fact, several WWE talents are very upset right now because of the fact that, well, the first and the second quarter royalty checks came out. They were not what everyone was expecting. They were very low in comparison to past years. So they weren't happy that they weren't getting the money that they feel they were owed.
Yeah.
And then on top of that, WWE has instituted a new dress code where basically they want their talent to look professional when they're on WWE's time, doing appearances, that type of thing. It's unknown at this point what the actual dress code is beyond don't walk around in your gym clothes. I think that's pretty much what it was. Don't do appearances in like a gym clothes, and Brock will agree with me. I think this is stemming from when CM Punk showed up at jeans and at the Mania press conference.
Yeah, this is the, hey, don't look like CM Punk rule, is the reinforcing the dress code. That's pretty much, that's how I took it when I read it. I don't think it will affect a lot of people. I really don't. The whole idea of, can you wrestle, can you show up in your gimmick? I think they would be okay with that. And for most people, there's only a couple that really need to be in gimmick when they're making appearances. And as we saw with the Wyatt... As we saw with the Wyatt family, WrestleMania Access, they can sort of get away with jeans and a nice shirt, and they're still looking like who they're supposed to be. Going back to the royalties thing, and the big check was the WWE video game check, which they were... Many people, including Mick Foley, who ranted and raved, and it's one of the reasons he did not re-sign with WWE, was over the check, came in very, very small compared to past years. And it split up a different way, and they would eventually make up for it. Supposedly, that was the rumor going around. Came back, they made like $1,500 off the video game every talent this go-around. Which is far, far less than like the $55,000 they were making off of royalties in previous years. It's a big dip. Again, there's more talent, and it's a new company, and it's spread out differently. So, you know, they may get more annual checks of the whatever the price is. But right now, that's the big concern, is money. And what will be really telling is this weekend. Because this weekend, supposedly... Or in the next, you know, next week, but I think it's supposed to be this weekend. Because they get paid like 60 days or something after a certain point, 9 days, whatever it is. They're going to be getting their first network check for WrestleMania. And how the payoffs will be for WrestleMania. Will they be good or will they be small? That's what everyone's looking for. And a lot of talent are going to be pissed if they come back very small, because the pay-per-view business has changed. Because now they've lost 60% of the pay-per-view audience for WrestleMania, or I should say they retained 60% for WrestleMania. But beyond that, it is a major, major drop.
Yep.
So it's sort of like, how much are we going to get paid off of this show? And this will now set the precedent for what's to come in the months to come off the network. And well, do they get paid off of network subscriptions? If they get paid off of network subscriptions, their pay will be fine. If it's off of pay-per-view buy rates, well,
It's probably going to be a little from column A, a little from column B. Majority of it being network, but they probably will still see some kind of payday from the pay-per-views, at least from Mania. I don't know about the rest, but I would say from Mania at least they will see some pay-per-view money. But that might be the last show that they get that from.
They get the real big check from it. WWE, because since WWE hasn't told anyone what they're doing, they could just come back and here's a standard price and here's what you're getting per, you know, show or whatever. If you wrestle here, you get this. You know, they set a whole scale. You don't know. No one knows anything. So it'll be interesting to see what happens when the money rumors come out over the next few days of, hey, this is our check. Especially the guys over Tokyo. It's like, oh man, we're over in Tokyo and this is our check. Ooh, ooh, ooh. You know, that sort of thing. It's going to be an eye-opener and it'll show you how the business is changing with this network. Excuse me.
Yeah, and well, the last and final big uproar, I would say. You done?
Yeah, I'm good.
Okay. The last and final thing that I think is causing the biggest uproar, or one of the bigger uproars, is the fact that WWE also instituted basically a curfew. It's known that the talent needs to be at the building by a certain time, usually about 1 or 2 o'clock in the afternoon for TV, and then I think it's like 11 or 12 for house shows. But they have to be at the building by a certain time. And it seems that it was becoming a problem for people to get there on time because WWE has now instituted fines for people who are late. And it's even if you are a minute late, you are fined. And people are not happy about this.
I wouldn't be, especially if you're a minute late, I wouldn't be happy. I'd be mad that I'm being fined for that. Because you could be pulled in the parking lot and then get into the building and, you know, hey, you're fine. But I was here. No, you weren't. You didn't check in. So it's like, yeah, they're restructuring the way they're doing things, and I think they're trying to get a more professional environment going. I think it was probably leading. They've had it probably a good environment for a while, but then everything just sort of got relaxed and relaxed and relaxed. Again, I think it's the CM Punk effect. Of very lenient ways of doing things. And everyone figured, he's doing it, so can we.
I can see that. And, you know, honestly, if I was a talent and I was a minute late, I would be pissed, especially if it's something like you got stuck in traffic or there was some other problem that was completely out of your control. But on the other side of that, it's, this is your job, okay? And just to kind of put it in perspective is for any other job, if you're late, even sometimes a minute late, they can dock your pay, they can write you up, they can fire you, depending on where you work and how many times you do it. So, you know, I can see WWE getting tired of that, especially if it's something of it's a big problem, if people are constantly doing it, particularly if it's the same people. It's something of, look, this is your job. We need you here by this time to be able to do your job. And if you show up late, then you kind of hold up everybody else, and that's not fair to everybody else to wait on you. And so I guess to get the point across, it's, you know, we're going to fine you even if you're a minute late, because ultimately it is the talent's responsibility to be there on time. And if that means you have to get to the building 10-15 minutes early, fine, so be it. You know, it's just something of you're an adult. This is your job. You need to be there on time. If you can't do that, well, then maybe you should seek another profession or just pay the fine.
Right.
You know, that's just kind of how I feel about it. But, you know, I can understand if something happens, like I said, you get stuck in traffic, your car breaks down, you know, you're doing, you know, I think you're excluded if you're doing an appearance and it runs long or something like that. I think if you're doing other things for the company and you're late to the building, I think that's okay, but if you're just showing up late.
Yeah, if you're doing, I believe if you're doing a company-related activity, you're fine.
But yeah, I mean, it's Like, if stuff happens and they fine you for the fact that your car broke down and that's out of your control, or you got stuck in traffic or something else, that's a little much because, again, that's out of your control, especially if you do the right thing and call somebody and say, hey, look, this is what's going on, I'm going to be late. But, I mean, if you're just walking into the building, you know, 5, 10 minutes, 20 minutes, whatever, late, then it's like, and you don't have a reason, it's like, well,
yeah.
You know, it's, again, it's just like any other job. You're expected to be there at a certain time. If you're not there, then it holds up the show. And it's not fair to everybody else, so.
And I think at the same time, it's for a lot of those guys who aren't often used, just casually strolling in.
Yeah. Again, just be there on time, y'all. Not hard.
Not hard. Not really? That hard. It's not that hard.
I know they have a hell schedule. I know it's hard to get out of bed, I imagine, but it's like, you know what? Again, this is your job. This is what you signed up for.
Exactly.
Do it.
Pretty much, so, yeah. Pretty much, yeah.
But several talents are not happy about it, so we'll have to see how it goes. But we were talking about Punk, and speaking of CM Punk, he's going to be making an appearance.
Oh, really?
Oh, yes. CM Punk is going to be co-hosting the red carpet special for the first annual Gibson Brands AP Music Awards on July 21st. And this marks, I think, the second appearance by Punk. It is not WWE related.
And this will be the first one that supposedly will be after his contract is officially up.
When is his contract up? Does anybody know?
Supposedly the 17th. Because that was the date of Money in the Bank, where he signed backstage, and that's when it became official. So if you go off of there, the 17th should be his final day. Which, if you do the calculations, well, we may have a story next week.
We may have a story next week. We'll have to see.
So yeah, that's cool. He's hosting a thing. He's done the Walking Dead post show. He did some other interview as well. So yeah, he's getting out there a little bit.
Well, I think he's taken his time. I think he's recovered. He's, the few times that I've seen him, he's looked really, really healthy and happy. And, you know, obviously this is what he needed. He just needed to walk away and take a break for a little bit and just get away from wrestling as a whole.
Right. He's retired. That's what he says. He's a retired wrestler right now.
Yeah, and you know what? He can sit there and watch 40 hours of Game of Thrones or Love It or List It on HGTV and, you know, do whatever, and it's fine. You know, he can co-host a red carpet event, which I actually kind of want to watch it, to see him co-host a red carpet event.
If he asks the question, so who are you wearing? I will die.
Yeah, it's just, that's going to sound weird coming out of Punk's mouth.
So, is this a award show televised?
I don't know.
Yeah, we'll have to look into this.
Worst case, it's, you know, online, but you said we might have a story next week. I think, you know, we have a story this week, and it has to do with 714-14.
Yeah, there's been a tease going on about this number 714-14. It was first posted by Sting, of all people, on Twitter, followed up by Sid and the Honky Tonk Man, and supposedly it's about the video game. It's not confirmed, but it seems like they're teasing their inclusion in the new WWE 2K15. If you think about it, these are three guys who have never been in the game, I think. I don't think Sid's been in it, and I don't think Honky Tonk Man's been in it. I can't remember off the top of my head, because I think they've been very hesitant going in the game, because they want the rights and all that stuff. They're very protective of who they are. So that would be cool, having those three guys in the game. It's three different people.
Well, plus Sting was with another company for a long time.
Sting has never been in WWE. There's also talk, oh, it could be about a DVD, but it's not about a DVD. It's about a video game. I would assume the trailer gets released. And I've heard, from what I've heard, the trailer is amazing. That a lot of people will be like, holy crap, when you see the trailer. Someone was tweeting about it who saw it.
Well, all right. Can't wait, then. 7/14/14, mark it on your calendars. Something's happening. We don't know what.
I know
what's happening. It's also, incidentally, a Monday night.
That's what I was going to say. It's Monday Night Raw. Unless these three people are going to participate in something new with the All-Star Game. Since Home Run Derby's on Monday. I doubt that. So, but Sting has a baseball bat, so it could be. I don't know. No. Probably something with the video game.
Yeah, probably something with the video game. We should also note that Linda McMahon recently gave $1 million gift to the Greenwich Hospital in Connecticut through the Vince and Linda McMahon Family Foundation. The money was donated to purchase 3D mammography machines to help with early breast cancer detection. So,
nicely done by the McMahon family.
Nicely done by the McMahon family.
Speaking of the McMahon family, and when they're bigger, the biggest things they like is WrestleMania.
Uh-huh.
The WWE's annual WrestleMania Highlight Special will be available on Sunday, August 3rd at 7 p.m. Eastern on NBC. It'll feature highlights from this past year's WrestleMania 30, probably a lot of plugs for the WWE Network, and serve as a lead-in to the first Sunday Night Football game on NBC, which will be the Bills versus the Giants.
Ooh, that'll be a humdinger game.
Oh, yeah, I'm looking forward to that Buffalo Bills-Giants showdown in preseason.
Ooh-hoo.
It's going to be appointment television.
Yeah, so, yay for WWE being the lead-in for Monday Night, or for Sunday Night Football. That'll be good for them, even though Vince hates the NFL, so.
Because this is the XFL.
Yeah, he's still a little bitter, I imagine. But speaking of bitter, so I don't even know how to phrase this, because this is one of the most bizarre stories of the week. A prisoner in... Is he in Florida?
Christopher Donnelly, a prisoner in the state of Pennsylvania. This is going to sound like a CB radio story. I'm just going to...
It is a CB radio story.
Yeah, it is. I might bring it up on CB radio, too. Christopher Donnelly, a prisoner in the state of Pennsylvania, recently filed a lawsuit against WWE and Natalya. Donnelly actually made a several-page handwritten filing and alleged that Natalya is an evil dominatrix that abused him mentally, physically, and emotionally from 2005 until 2009. Donnelly alleged that Natalya boarded his child, beat him numerous times at hotels across the country, used obscenities such as, "This is my dungeon, you little bitch," and other naughty acts, according to the complaint. The man claimed that Natalya also forced him to prostitute himself. He said he wants $250,000 in damages for mental and psychological trauma, spelling psychological wrong in the filing. Well done.
Nice.
If he didn't receive the $250,000 through the lawsuit, he threatened to take the complaint to higher courts and the media. On July 7th, a judge in Florida wrote that the filing was filed with delusional language and went on to dismiss the lawsuit on several grounds. Now, go.
Okay, one, that's the most bizarre thing I've ever heard/read. Number two...
Hold on. It's really not that bizarre compared to some stories you hear Saturday night's midnight-ish on CB radio.
Yes, but I'm usually asleep.
But
you tell me about them anyway.
I do. Most bizarre wrestling-related story.
Most bizarre wrestling-related story, yeah. I mean, this is just something that it's like, wait, what?
Yeah.
It sounds like really bad fan fiction, but it's not. That's the thing. Like, he's sitting here and he's saying all these, that she did all these things, and it's like, I don't know how much of the act, you know, how much of Natty on Total Divas is an act. She didn't even know how to role play. And you're sitting here telling me that she's an evil dominatrix? What?
It makes no sense. Like, there's a guy who files these stupid lawsuits and did something with Johnny Manziel and talked about his size of his package and how it was like a size of a hot dog or whatever. And on ridiculous things. And it's like, you read some of these lawsuits that take up court's time, it's like, wow. Just wow.
Yeah, that just makes you sit there and kind of shake your head, because literally it's like, what? I mean, really, what?
Yeah, that's basically it, yeah. All you can say is what.
Yeah, so, again, bizarre story. But moving on from WWE, at least for a little bit, we've got some TNA news brought to you, of course, by our friends over at TNAsylum.com, the haven for TNA fans. And just a quick note, since TNA is on right now, this is the last show that we're going to see the four-sided ring for TNA. They are going back to the six sides as of next week.
Yeah, with the Impact NYC tapings, they are moving to the six-sided ring because you, the fans, chose it. So you get to see them back in the six-sided ring, which is cool to see. It's going to be fun to see for a little bit, seeing the six-sided ring. It's like, but if it's going to be a full-on thing, it's like, okay, well, back to the way things were about, what, 6 years ago? Was it?
Well, 6 years ago was pretty good, so.
This is true. A quick TNA note, again brought to you by TNA Silo. There is a brand new X Division champion, Lindsay.
There is?
Austin Aries beat Sonata to win the X Division championship on Impact tonight.
Oh my, is he going to go for option C?
I guess we'll have to wait and see. That sort of was his plan last week, talking with Kurt Angle, that, you know, he's going to find a way, and the first way to do it is win options and win the TNA X Division Championship. So that's step one in accomplishing option C.
Well, speaking of Kurt Angle, he may not be there much longer to counsel young Aries and the other TNA talent because, well, news is broken that Kurt Angle turned down the latest deal that TNA offered him.
Yeah, he appeared on the, believe it was the Jim Ross the Ross Report, the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And he did an interview with Jim Ross and talked about that his contract is up in September. I believe it was September 21st, if I remember correctly from the report. And he turned down their latest contract offer because he as he stated, that his next wrestling contract will be his last. And he feels that he needs to think about what it means to sign with whoever he chooses, whether it's with TNA or with WWE.
Yeah, if he's going for his last contract, he's calling Vince up, and he's going to get that one last big payday like a lot of them are doing. You know, I think that's what RVD's doing right now. I can see, you know, Booker did that. Christian came back. Gail Kim got her last payday.
But the thing is, with Kurt Angle, is can he be cleared? And the last time Kurt's contract up, he was trying to get with WWE, and they wouldn't have him because they wouldn't clear him. And after everything that's happened since then, I don't know. One, because he's been 1 year clean and sober. Congratulations, Kurt Angle, on that. By the way, because there was reports that he was passed out on a plane. Basically, he was sleeping, but people believed otherwise. But he cleared up the room and said he's clean for 1 year, which is great. Good, because if you remember last year around this time, he did go into rehab.
He did.
Right before came back right before Bound for Glory. And he also updated his health, which he'll be clear to return the ring in October, which is a month after his contract is up. I want to see Kurt Angle back. It would be cool to see him in one final WrestleMania match, one final big match. Don't know against two, but you can always find someone, because there's always ways to find. There's a bunch of new people he's never fought. Or you can do a return, like John Cena, Kurt Angle one more time, and... Or who knows? There's plenty. Kurt Angle, Cesaro would be a hell of a match.
Oh god, that'd be fantastic.
Go ahead.
The thing with Angle is, it all depends, like you said, on how he is physically. Obviously, he's taking care of himself. He's gotten the help he's needed, you know, to get himself clean. And that's the biggest thing with him. I think as far as the physical injuries are concerned, he's obviously taking care of those as well. I don't know how stringent WWE's policy is on clearing people, you know, but if nothing else, you bring Kurt Angle back in a non-wrestling role, he would be good to play against the Authority, he could be good to work with the Authority, you can always bring back the past in terms of Stephanie and Kurt, you know, there's a lot of stuff you could do with Kurt Angle now. He could be a mentor to somebody. He could be a manager. He could be an authority figure. You know, he doesn't necessarily need to be a wrestler. Would it be great to see Kurt Angle wrestle some people that are now in the company on the main roster? Abso-fucking-lutely. But, you know, if he can't get cleared, he can't get cleared. But I think Kurt kind of sees the writing on the wall with TNA.
Because if he is, one of the probably reasons he turned down their contract is everyone's taking a pay cut. And I don't think Kurt wants to take that pay cut.
No, Kurt doesn't want to take that pay cut. And it's something of Kurt kind of sees the writing on the wall. He sees that, you know, what everybody else sees. TNA is in trouble. TNA is struggling. And at this point, there's no indication that Spike is willing to renew their TV deal. They're still struggling with that. And so if TNA loses the Spike deal, they're basically an international company, and they're dead in the water in the United States. That doesn't do Kurt Angle any favors. So you know what? Why not try for WWE? You know, one, to get that big payday, but two, to be on that level one last time, to potentially go to WrestleMania one last time before you retire.
That carrot, that's a nice carrot to be chasing after, just point that one out.
Yeah, so, and that's not a knock at TNA. It really isn't. It's just something of, I think, Angle is, you know, like a lot of the other guys that have come from WWE, you know, they kind of come towards the end of their career when WWE sort of lets them go, says, okay, see you, bye. They go to TNA, they get a few more years in, and then they go back to Vince and say, hey, how about one less payday? You know, Kurt wouldn't be the first person that's done that. He won't be the last. I would almost bet if Hardy could get back into WWE, he probably would.
Probably.
You know, and so it's something of, because they're not making the money in TNA that they're making in WWE.
Of course not. No, far from it.
So, I can't begrudge, especially Angle, the fact that, you know, you want to go back, you want to get that one last big contract, and then you're set. Totally can't fault him for that at all.
Me neither. Totally can't.
But speaking of contracts, and well, that one last big deal, unfortunately I don't think a lot of people, these next couple people we're going to talk about are, well, going to get that. Pete Williams of Team Canada fame and TNA fame actually announced his retirement over the weekend. At an indie show, so no, not Petey.
He wrestled Chris Sabin for his final match.
Oh, I bet that was good.
Probably was.
Shannon Moore also has announced that he is hanging it up, and he is moving on with his life as well.
He's moving to Chicago with his family, because, you know, life together. Which is cool.
Which is very cool. So I guess he closed his tattoo shop there in Cameron, or wherever it was.
I think.
And these two next. These two next stories, or these two next names, I should say, are interesting ones because they're not confirmed, but they're rumored, and it has not been addressed. We have not seen either since the stories broke. But the first one is, over the weekend, Santino Marella, of all people, not Santino, no, announced in Canada that he was possibly retiring, or that he was retiring from WWE. And there's been video of this that has been released. People have gotten transcripts of the speech. He was at Raw on Monday in Ottawa, but he was not used. Basically, he cited that he had injured his neck for a third time and that he was no longer able to compete in the ring, then that he was announcing his retirement effective immediately. Which, if that's true, I would be absolutely heartbroken because I adore Santino. But obviously he has other irons in the fire with his school, with his family, so he probably also wants to concentrate on that. So what are your thoughts, Rock, on Santino?
We talked to him about a year ago almost, last September, and he was really excited about the new Battle Arts Academy. And he did an interview, I would say, a week or so ago, saying he knows his career is winding down just a little bit, and he wants to take another role within the company, a non-wrestling role. So I guess he kind of figured, oh, I hurt my neck again. I know I'm probably on my last leg, and it's like three neck injuries. That's kind of tough. So it's smart from the get out. It's, again, see, this goes back to the Kurt Angle story, if you think about it. Third neck injury, they're not clearing him. Kurt has a bad neck. They're probably not going to clear him. What they did with Edge, doctors told them they won't clear him to wrestle. So it's kind of bring it circle back to the Kurt Angle thing. It kind of weighs against him with Santino going out for a third neck injury, because the neck is a something you don't want to mess with. Look at, you know, Daniel Bryan, for instance.
Absolutely.
Santino Marella, I always remember his debut. I'll always remember his debut in Italy, which is like the one time they did Raw in Italy, which was awesome. Him in his red shoes. And he wears red boots for a long, long time, which is awesome. I always loved him and Maria together. As a duo, they were fantastic.
Oh, I love that.
And then Glamorella.
Oh my god, how can you forget Glamorella?
Santino was a ladies' man, just putting that one out.
He was. The question is, who got more chicks, Santino or Kane?
I think Santino. I would have to do fact checking. But I think it would be Santino. He would always schmooze up to more ladies than Kane would. Because whenever Kane was with a lady, it was always awkward.
This is true.
Just pointing that one out. But it's sad that his career is ending the way it is. His last match was the Battle Royal a couple weeks ago on Raw. So I guess that's maybe where he got hurt again. I don't know. That's not confirmed or anything. Just speculating on that one. He will be missed. He's a great comedy figure. The showdown between him and Mick Foley, Cobra versus Socket in the Royal Rumble, which was freaking tremendous.
Best Rumble ever.
It's a great Rumble spot between the two of them. I love that spot. It was great. He was always a great comedy figure. He was great comedy relief. Miss WrestleMania, Santina Marella.
Yes. His twin sister from Italy.
Oh, that was great. The moment of him versus Vicky in the Hogpen match, no, though. That was just no. But yeah, he'll be missed. I would love for him to have a show on the network. Like, he was always good on Santina's Casa on WWE-tube. Something like that, if they can find a role for him to do something on the network. Which would be awesome.
He would be a great mentor for the younger talent. You know, and he would be a wonderful trainer.
Yeah, but I don't think, because of his school, I don't see him going to NXT.
Oh, I don't see him going to NXT permanently, but they bring him down every once in a while as like a guest trainer or something. You know, to do something like that with him in terms of working with the talent and helping the talent. I can see him being a road agent, a talent scout. I mean, I can see him doing a number of different roles in the company. You know, he can work with guys and help them to develop accents, to help them develop characters. Because I believe he came up with the Santino character all on his own, and actually before he was Santino Marella, when he was still in OVW, he actually was doing a Russian gimmick with Rosa Mendez, of all people. Because I remember that.
Right.
When the few times I went down to OVW to see Cassidy, when Cassidy was working down there, Santino was doing a Russian gimmick, and he was a heel. So the dude can do accents. He can do characters. He's very good at it. And that's a skill that, you know, can definitely be put across to the talent and to show them how to do that and to learn how to do that. To say, hey, you know, if you're doing this character, this is how you do this.
Right.
Or this is how you play it.
Right. And to think, he's Canadian.
He is.
He made that clear in his speech in Toronto. You know, they say he's from Italy or New Jersey, but no, his real ring introduction should be from Toronto, Canada.
Yes.
Santino will be missed. Long live Santino Marella.
If But yes, speaking of being missed and another possibility that they might be done, it came out that Corey Graves, if you don't know who he is a up-and-comer in NXT, kind of a CM Punk crossed with, I don't know who, but kind of like a CM Punk grunge kind of gimmick. That's the best way I can think to describe him, even though it's not apt. But anyway, Corey Graves recently suffered a concussion. I would believe it was his second or third severe concussion, and there's a possibility he may not be cleared to wrestle, and he might be done as well.
Yeah, the report a few weeks ago, they were looking to find him another role within the company. I don't know what kind of role you can find for someone who really hasn't done much, and it was especially with his look. You really can't stick him as an interviewer because he just doesn't have that look. It'll be interesting to see what they do with him. He was one of the people when NXT came on the network. It's like, I want to see what he's all about, and never really got a chance because he's been injured. And it's like, okay, it's a shame he's getting injured. Concussion again. Brain injuries and the brain and neck are big priorities right now, and they won't clear people who've had multiple concussions like that. And when you say severe concussion, that's never good because that means brain loss. Memory loss.
Yeah, you never want that. You never want to hear that, and it's unfortunate that he got injured before he really ever got to break out. He, like Rock said, he was one of those I was really curious about. I had heard a lot about, and it's like, okay, well, let's see what this guy kind of can do. And from what I had seen, you know, he had a couple great matches with Sami Zayn.
But everyone can have a great match with Sami Zayn.
Yeah, everybody can. Yeah, but
you know. Just pointing that one out.
Just pointing that one out, but yeah, he had a couple. From what I saw of him, he had a couple really good matches with Sami Zayn and some other people. I never really latched onto the character just because I just didn't connect with it. But he really did show promise and have a bright future, and so it would be a shame if he's forced to retire before he ever really got started. Because you never want to hear that.
Right. You really don't want to hear that.
So here's to hoping that isn't the case, and Corey Graves isn't in fact done, and he can continue to wrestle, but if not, here's hoping that they find him something else to do.
Here's hoping. Maybe he could be help with the character development with the guys down in NXT.
Maybe. But on that note, I say we take our first break of the evening, and when we come back, we'll be talking all about tonight's exciting NXT. And we'll let you know what happened.
Plus, we're talking Wyatt family later.
Yeah, because I so need an excuse for that. But anyway, you're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will be right back.
Throw your dollar bills and leave your thrills all here with me. And speak but don't pretend. I won't defend you.
Out and about when your favorite WTR program is on the air? Don't worry, we've got you covered. You can listen to WTR on the go with TuneIn Radio. Just download the TuneIn Radio app for your Android or iPhone, iPad or tablet, and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. Best of all, it's free. What are you waiting for? Download the TuneIn Radio app today. Tune in to WTR, wherever you are.
You never know what will happen when you tune in to CB Radio.
The first award was crowd participation. Your choices were Fandangoing, Yes, Let's Go Cena, Cena Sucks, and What's Up? Sub, what's your pick?
I think I picked Cena Sucks.
No, you didn't.
What was it? Cena great.
Great. I love these picks.
Sub, you picked Yes, Yes, Yes.
Oh, yeah, Daniel Bryan.
Yeah!
why didn't I hear that? You didn't say that.
Yes, I did.
Yes.
And that was the one that won. Got that right.
Sure. Holy shit.
But because you changed your pick.
no, I didn't hear the option of Daniel Bryan yet.
The guy's magical. He's a magical little guy.
The LOL moment of the year. Your choices were the Great Khali and Jinder Mahal try to snake charm Santino's Cobra.
You know, when you say it like that, that sounds so wrong.
I know. So
I'm going to say I went with the first one where they try to chain the Cobra.
No, you didn't.
What did he say?
He said he picked the snake charmer. No.
Ah!
No.
Well, see, that's what I figured I would go with.
That's what Rob picked. You picked Titus O'Neil throwing up. You were wrong. It was the Rock concert.
Jesus, that was way off there.
Insult of the year, sub.
Oh, I have no idea what I went with. I'm going to go with the Big Show and Stephanie.
Congratulations. You picked the winning one. Today.
Can I trade in the ones when I like get them all awful? Can I trade two of them in for a win?
Diva of the year.
I'm going to go with the Funkadactyl chick. No, because I know it was AJ Lee. Do I want to win now?
Hold on.
Or do I stick to my gun?
So which one are you picking?
Funkadactyl.
All right, so you picked AJ last week. You picked the Funkadactyls this week. Ace and Crispy picked AJ. That's all wrong. Rob picked the Bella Twins, and the Bella Twins won the award.
Suck it, bitches.
When you calculate everyone's pick, CB Radio and WTR pick. Subway, you were 500. You were 4-4. You did the best out of everybody.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Oh, my God. Wait. Damn. I think my head just exploded. I'm done. I
think something disconnected from my brain.
I ain't taking calls, so I came to kick ass tonight.
Tune in to CB Radio, Saturdays, midnight Eastern Time, on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
The evolution of online sports entertainment. WrestleTalk Radio is back.
Yes!
I know, the show hasn't gone anywhere, but that's not what I'm talking about. I'm saying WrestleTalkRadio.com is back.
Yes!
Visit all the new historical WrestleTalkRadio.com to learn about the history of the show and hear shows from the past that you never thought you would ever hear again.
Yes!
Plus, you can now follow the show on Twitter at WTR Sunday Night.
What?
Like us on Facebook.
What?
Go to Facebook.com/WrestleTalkRadio.
Yes!
Once again, visit the all-new WrestleTalkRadio.com today.
Yes!
Will you stop that?
No!
Cut it out!
No!
I've got cookies.
Maybe.
Looking for one of the most popular stop-motion animation wrestling shows on the internet today? Then check out Crash Collision Wrestling, created by the one and only Matt Goldberg. He's the director of Terrified and Pope Against All Odds. CCW is a stop-motion animation series featuring WWE and TNA stars, and it also happens to be endorsed by the likes of Elijah Burke, Hulk Hogan, and TNA Knockout Tara.
This is Tara from Impact Wrestling, and for the number one animated wrestling show, make sure you check out Crash Collision Wrestling, or else get slammed by moi.
Check out the show by logging on to youtube.com/mbg1211, and don't forget to like Crash Collision Wrestling on Facebook. Once again, check out Crash Collision Wrestling today.
Because everybody knows, much like Pope, CCW, it's been.
Hey everybody, this is Joseph Talk from Impact Wrestling, and you're listening to the Wild Talk Radio Network.
MBG1211 for all your action figure review needs, because it's, you know,
If that song doesn't get you hyped, I don't know what would.
Well, no, you don't get hyped. You stay hyped.
That's very, very true.
In case you didn't figure it out, we are getting ready to talk all about tonight's exciting NXT because, well, you know, Kid and Gabriel, you know, took on Sami Zayn and Neville, but first, there was a new number one contender crowned.
There was a new number one contender crowned because we had Bayley taking on Summer Rae to kick off tonight's NXT. And the girls had a really, really good match. You could tell that Bayley was having fun early on in this match as she did that thing where she spins around on top of you a couple times. Summer wasn't happy about it.
No, she wasn't.
Summer was able to get a little bit of control. She hit a big boot, taking out Bayley. Bayley had a nice counter into a roll-up attempt for a pinfall, which was nice for a two-count. Summer pulled one of those hair tie things that's in Bayley's head and taunted her with it, which was, no, you don't do that.
You don't touch the headband.
No, you really don't. Summer rolled through nicely and drove her right into the mat at one point. Summer then went for a spin kick. Bayley caught it and then took down Summer Rae. Bayley was making her comeback. And what were the fans chanting, Lindsay?
Bayley's gonna hug you.
Which you then said,
Bray's gonna kill you and Bayley's gonna hug you.
Yeah. Bayley hit a nice spear in the corner and came over with a nice suplex for a long two count. She goes for the Bayley to Bayley. Summer countered into the Summer Crush. And Summer Rae is your new number one contender for the NXT Women's Championship. Great match between these two. They had really good chemistry. And this match was told a good story. And it was a nice battle.
It was a nice battle. It wasn't as smooth as I like to see it, but it was still a really good match. The two girls were really putting on a good effort. And one thing that I love about the women's matches most of the time in NXT is that they're long. They get time to wrestle, to get the crowd into it. And that's something you just don't get to see on the main roster a lot anymore. It's becoming more and more prevalent, but a lot of times the girls really don't get a lot of time, so it's really cool that in NXT, they do get that time.
Yes. Which is good, and they had about, I would say, 7-8 minutes to put on a really good match.
Yes.
So Summer Rae is your number one contender, and Charlotte was watching on throughout the match, and I don't think she was happy that Summer Rae is now the number one contender.
No, it seems that the rift between the BFFs is just growing larger.
Pretty much at this point, yeah.
So after this, we see, you know, them talking about Justin Gabriel and Tyson Kidd. We cut to the back with Adrian Neville and Sami Zayn, where Adrian says what happened was cheap, and do they think that they're brave or clever? Sami says that he should have seen that coming. Everyone is seeing what type of a guy Tyson Kidd really is. And he's just shocked that Justin got brainwashed. But Sami says this isn't the last time you've heard from either him or Adrian.
Before you continue, was it brainwashed or brainwashed?
Brainwashed,
okay. Just making that clear.
There's a difference between being brainwashed and brainwashed.
Yeah, there is. We'll be brainwashed later.
Yes. Devin Taylor then followed up with Justin Gabriel and Tyson Kidd. She asked Justin about what happened, and Justin says that he made a choice not to be a loser. He's back in NXT after 4 years. It's not a slag on NXT because the talent is phenomenal. They're just not on the same level as Justin, and they don't have his skill or looks. I beg to differ with some people, but okay.
Before we continue, I have a point to make about that.
Okay.
The one thing they started with to open the Gabriel part, they introduced them as WWE superstars. Not NXT stars. WWE superstars. Tyson Kidd and Justin Gabriel. It was a nice subtle hint there of where they stand and how, you know, why they believe they're better than Neville and Sami, because they're WWE superstars.
Of course. and basically Justin then goes on to say Tyson was right. And it took that loss to get to him. You know, and he says, to get ahead in life, you've got to break some rules. And Tyson then blows Devin off after they leave, so.
I like the promo. It was a nice way to solidify the heel turn.
It was. It really was. It's just I'm not sure about it. It's like, oh, baby, you're trying. You're trying so hard.
They're trying. They're trying to make them heels. And we'll say Tyson Kidd has a better way of being a heel than Gabriel. But we're seeing some aggression, and we'll talk more about that when we get to the match.
Actually, is it really wrong that when Sammy was like, I just was shocked that Justin got so easily brainwashed. I'm like, really, dude? Did you not see the Nexus?
No, that happened in WWE. This is NXT. Remember this?
Did you not see that on TV? I mean, you know, come on, dude. He was an original part of the Nexus.
Well, point that one out.
Pointing that one out. We then cut back to the ring where Eden announces that Tyler Breeze, the number one contender for the NXT title. Let's see, what all did she say? The number one contender, award-winning music video artist, and there was something else.
I can't, and fashion model?
Yeah, there were like three things, but basically Tyler Breeze has entered the
That's all I wrote down in my notes was Tyler Breeze has entered the building. That's all I wrote.
And we then transition to match number two of the evening, Sin Cara taking on Wesley Blake. I could talk. Jesus.
# Lindsay disease.
I caught it from you.
And I caught it from you. Sin Cara squash match or put over match on NXT. Okay. Brene Young talked about how Sin Cara being back in NXT makes him a real threat. Wesley Blake with some early offense. Sin Cara had a nice dive through the ropes onto Blake. Blake hit an arm breaker and then started hammering Sin Cara with shots. Really worked over the arm. That's one of the things they like to do in NXT is work over the arm. We'll talk more about that coming up. Sin Cara made a comeback with his dives off the rope, clean crossbody and a springboard back elbow. He kicked Blake in the head, hit the senton splash for the victory. Sin Cara wins. Solid match. Put over Sin Cara. I got nothing more to add to that one.
Yeah, it was a good match. I mean, that's all I really have for that. Sorry.
It's Sin Cara. Part of me is like, why is Sin Cara wrestling on NXT TV? It's just, I don't know. Threw me off a little bit. Just putting that one out.
Yeah, just a little bit. But it's... Yay, it's Sin Cara.
You can tell we're not the biggest Sin Cara fans right now, since it's not even a real Sin Cara, it's a fake Sin Cara.
Yeah. But moving on from this, we see Tyson Kidd backstage, and Natty stops by. She tells Tyson it was strange with the interview. You know, Tyson claims he was ambushed by Renee Young, but Natalya says that she thought it came off that it was all her fault. Natty says that she doesn't want to be part of this if Tyson continues with this attitude, and Tyson says that he would love for her to be at ringside with him, but it's up to her. These two are so passive-aggressive, it's not funny.
Yeah, he brought up some of his throughout the promo. Natty also talked about how he had an awful attitude, and you know, basically... Tonight is the start of Tyson Kidd's role, and it's up to Natty if she wants to be a part of it. We'll see.
We will see. After this, we have CJ Parker coming to the ring. I miss him doing his little ass wiggle. I'm sorry, I do. It was the only way I could take him seriously wearing his man panties. What do they look like? They look like man panties with a belt. They seriously do. He's got them so jacked up that it just... They don't... Yeah. Anyway, they look like panties.
You've lost me for a second. Just go on.
Broke him. First time for the night.
Oh, alright. Well, continue.
Is this what happens when a girl watches wrestling? CJ Parker comes to the ring and has something to say.
Hold on. This is indeed what happens when a girl is watching wrestling.
There you go. Parker says that he had, you know, he has some things, you know, that he said last week that he's not very fond of, and he wants Xavier Woods to come to the ring so he can apologize. Xavier makes his way to the ring, and Parker says that he doesn't want things to get out of hand. He has been gone for a while, and he was a little overzealous and overconfident last week. The adrenaline was pumping through his veins, and he said some things he shouldn't have. Xavier says that CJ was a little excited after his match, and he popped off like a 12-year-old Woods, says, like a 12-year-old Woods, if I can read. Woods says that he's not an idiot, and he uses logic, because he almost has his PhD.
I can't spit it out.
And logic is the only thing that's keeping him from ripping the rainbow-colored bird's nest off the top of CJ Parker's head.
I just can't spit it out.
Yeah, I know. Parker says that he came out to say he was sorry, to bury the hatchet and offer an olive branch. And he wants peace. He suggests that Woods accepts it. Parker offers his hand while holding up a peace sign, and Woods thinks about it a moment. Woods responds with a peace sign of his own, and he starts to walk out of the ring, but Parker hits Woods from behind. And he tells Woods that he didn't want it to be this way. He wanted to say he was sorry.
Woods kind of blew the peace sign in his face.
Yep.
That was kind of weird and awkward. Peace and love, everybody. Peace and love.
So, yeah. And then the referees obviously had to break up, you know, CJ and Xavier, as CJ was looking to beat Xavier some more. But, well, thankfully they stopped him. And he just left in his man panties with a belt. Twice tonight in 5 minutes.
In 2 minutes.
Whatever.
Continue.
We're back with the VOD. Villains.
Ha-ha.
We see some black and white footage, and Aiden says that they will be the greatest tag team in the land, while Gotch says they will be the champions. They laugh and say,
Excelsior.
Excelsior, thank you. I can't read right now.
I didn't even write that down, but that was probably a hashtag. Ha-ha, ha-ha, ha-ha. That's all I wrote.
Yes.
I wrote down...
that's all I remember from it is ha.
I wrote down, they want to be tag team champions, and ha-ha, ha-ha, ha-ha.
They need Regal to manage them.
Yeah, I'm with you. They.
Regal needs to be with these two.
He would be a nice third act to them. Great manager.
Yes, he would. We also see a video package for The Ascension, where we saw the highlights from TakeOver, where they took on El Locale and Kalisto. We then also got the warning that Bull Dempsey is coming, and your match number 3 of the evening is Bull Dempsey taking on Angelo Dawkins.
Oh, I have something to say. But Dempsey worked over the arm of Angelo Dawkins. He rolled him into a headlock, which was nice. Dawkins goes for a sunset flip, and, Dempsey, the Bull, sits down on him and, you know, then hits some multiple elbow shots. Dawkins fires back with hard right hands and a drop kick to finally get the big man off his feet. Bull, though, came back, hit him an elbow, and took him right down. He charged with a big splash in the corner and hit his slam finisher for the victory. Your winner, Bull Dempsey. Now my... What do you think of this match before I go into what I have to say?
He's hairy.
Alright. Yeah, he is hairy.
Just go.
Alright, I got this... I've said this a couple weeks ago. I think I said it last week. He's the white Taz, and he really is overly the white Taz, just the way he wrestles. And now they gave... Jason Albert on commentary said, Bull Dempsey is the one-man crime spree. That was Taz's nickname. So, if we're not trying to make him the white Taz, I don't know if this makes it any more clearer, because they are. He is the white Taz. please don't make him the White Taz. We don't need a White Taz. Don't call him the one-man crime spree. Don't call him the human wrecking ball, because that sort of was a nickname as well. Not an official one, but sort of was for Taz.
Actually, I kept thinking he kind of looks like the bastard love child of Luke Harper and Bray Wyatt.
No. I don't.
Really?
No, I don't see that. No.
I don't know why, but yeah, I just...
I think it's the hair.
It's all the hair, but yeah, he kind of reminds me of Husky Harris. He's just way less charismatic. And then he's furry. So, I don't know.
To me, he reminds me of the White Taz, and I don't like this White Taz.
I don't know. So far, I'm not impressed.
No, I'm really not. He's the last of the dying breed, and maybe the dying breed should stop. And again, I mentioned that reason why he seems like looks like then Russell's sort of like Taz, is because he went to Taz's finishing school. He was used to be known as Smith James.
Yes. After the match, we have Dempsey get on the mic, and he says that he is the wrecking ball, and he will not stop until he's NXT champion.
Yep, pretty much.
Sami Zayn is in the interview area with Adrian Neville, and Sami asks Adrian what possessed him to help him last week. Adrian says that they go way back, and if anyone attacks Sami, he has his back. Adrian wants to know what is next. Sami says that he will give the mic back to Devin, and they will go to the ring to show Justin and Tyson what they are all about. And we have your main event of the evening, which was a very good match. Adrian Neville and Sami Zayn taking on Tyson Kidd and Justin Gabriel.
Before we get to the match, I like how Sami threw the mic. Yeah, with the tie. I like how Sami threw the mic back at her.
Yes. It's like, oh yeah, here.
Here's your mic back. Oh, yeah. Okay, she was there. It's kind of not really. This was a really, really good tag match. Neville and Kidd worked, Neville and Zayn worked really well early on together, making quick tags back and forth. There was a nice move where Sami was on his knees, and after he slammed down Gabriel, he went to his knees. Neville jumped off the back with a corkscrew right down on the Gabriel, which was nice. Really, really nice. Neville hit his crossbody for a two count. They basically worked well for a while as a team. Kidd finally got Zayn back in the corner, and this is where Kidd and Gabriel really took over, and you saw some dirty tactics when we came back from break. They kept making quick tags, and we hit Zayn with repeated shots. He was up in the tree at Woe at one point, got hammered. We had a Natty's husband chant. Which was nice. They had a nice kick right to Sami Zayn for a long two count. Zayn kept reaching for a tag, but kept getting stopped. But he finally made the hot tag to Neville, who came out as a house of fire, and he really was. Hard kicks to Gabriel, standing moonsault for a two count. Hit a nice sit down powerbomb for a two count, and when Tyson Kidd broke it up. Kidd came from the top rope. He got caught with a super kick for a long two count. Neville goes for the red arrow. Gabriel with a distraction. Kidd knocked him off. Springboard elbow. Two count as Zayn broke it up. Zayn docked out of the way. Gabriel went over the top rope. Natty has a look of concern on her face. Kidd goes for a suplex. Blocked. A roll up. We had a blind tag. Neville dives through the ropes onto Gabriel. And then Sami hit a crossbody for a long two count. Kidd then gets dumped to the outside. Sami flies with this big flip over the top rope on everyone on the outside of the ring. And this is where Kidd came up with a knee injury. Kidd was in the ring, hovering in the corner. The referee was checking on him. Natty was checking on him. The referee was keeping Neville back. Kidd comes out, goes for a shot, gets blocked. Neville hits him with the right hand, and Kidd falls back and knocks Natty off the apron to the outside. She falls down hard to the outside. Both men look for concern, and then Kidd goes, roll up. 1, 2, 3. Kidd rolled up Sami Zayn with a victory. Tyson Kidd and Justin Gabriel are your winners. Kidd runs off, celebrates, yay, and then runs over to check on Natty. Good match.
He's such a devoted husband.
He is, though he, celebrated and then looked after his wife. And then as NXT closed, I did it!
They were so pleased with themselves.
They were. I liked this match. I thought it was a good match. Well, why wouldn't it be good? Yeah, with these four people in it. To point that one out.
But yeah, overall, this was a great show. Great main event. Entertaining from top to bottom.
I could do without Sin Cara have getting put over matches, but not just me, unless Bull Dempsey.
My only real problem with this show, and it's not even really a problem, is I don't like how many main roster people are coming down to NXT. Like, I don't have a problem with it if it's like Kid and Gabriel.
Because they haven't done anything on TV in forever.
Because they haven't done anything on TV in forever, but it's like you had King Gabriel there, you had Summer Rae there, you had Xavier Woods, you had Sin Cara.
Like, my only real problem was Sin Cara.
You know, it's just, you know, it's like you had a whole slew of main roster people coming out, and I'd rather see, it's like, it's great to see them, but it's like, I really am watching this to see the NXT talent, and I want to see the NXT talent.
Right, I'm okay with the Tyson and Justin Gabriel. I'm okay with Summer because it's setting up a big match, which would probably be the blow off for Summer leaving NXT officially. I think they're sort of they're building up to writing her off of TV after to finish off the BFFs angle.
Right.
So I'm okay with that because I know it's not going to be a long term thing. So, yeah, but I was not happy with Sin Cara. Xavier Woods, he's there to get killed, I guess. The feud makes no sense to me, but we'll go with it. But the positive, though, I like that we had a couple squash matches. I could have, better talent would have been involved, would have been a different story. But we had two competitive matches, so they finally found, again, for a second, third week in a row, the nice balance between squash and competitive matches, which is good. I like that. I like they found that competitive balance.
I agree. I really do. This show has been flowing much better lately, where you're getting nicely timed matches, you're getting backstage segments, they're figuring it out as they go.
Yeah, and then they're realizing who they have available and what they can do, and especially because they did a lot of TV in 4 weeks, 5 weeks apart, they were able to figure out the direction they wanted to go.
Exactly. But on that note, I say we take our second and final break of the evening, and
woo!
When we come back, we have Tweet of the Week, of course, and we're going to be talking all about the Wyatts and doing a year in the review, including telling everybody what your picks were for the best Wyatt moments. So you're listening to The Rock right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will be right back.
The evolution of online sports entertainment begins again on Sunday nights when you step into the ring with WrestleTalk Radio. Covering all the latest in the WWE, TNA, and the indie scene. Plus, providing you with the most comprehensive coverage of every WWE and TNA pay-per-view. Join WrestleTalk Radio every Sunday night, live only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Can't catch a WTR program live? Well, we've got three easy ways for you to listen whenever you want. First, listen to the Wild Talk Radio Network on iTunes. Just head over to iTunes and search for Wild Talk Radio Network and subscribe to our feed. Secondly, download the Stitcher Radio app and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. And finally, just visit the archive section right here at wildtalkradio.com. And you can download every single episode of all your favorite programs. Best of all, it's free. Keep up to date and spread the word to your friends on how you
can be part of the Wild Talk Radio Network listening experience.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show. From the big returns...
After 7 long years, finally, The Rock has come back to Monday Night Raw!
To the shocking moments... And the moments that leave you speechless.
I grew up locked in a basement, suffering severe psychological and emotional scarring when my brother set my parents on fire. From there, I shifted around among a series of mental institutions until I was grown, at which point I buried my brother alive. Twice. Since then, I've set a couple of people on fire and abducted various co-workers. Oh, and I once electrocuted a man's testicles.
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, 11:30 p.m. Eastern, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Calling all pro wrestling fans, don't forget to check out PWMania.com. Again, the web address is PWMania.com. It's the best place on the internet today to get your late-breaking pro wrestling news and spoilers. We also have exclusive interviews, exclusive live results coverage of pay-per-views, rare photos, videos, divas, knockouts, and more. Exclusive writers, pro wrestler columns as well, where you can get a real insider's view of the world of professional wrestling. Bookmark it today, right now. It is PWMania.com.
Looking for the latest in all things TNA Wrestling? Then look no further than TNAsylum.com. TNA Asylum keeps you up to date on all the happenings in TNA Wrestling, along with featured columns, full coverage of TNA-related events, and a first look on the behind-the-scenes events of TNA that you can't find anywhere else. Log on right now to the haven for TNA fans, TNAsylum.com.
The greatest man that ever lived always liked a good rap. And you're listening to the greatest rap on Wild Talk Radio Network.
WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you first by our friends over at Wrestling Figure Wednesdays. That's right, YouTube.com/MBG1211 for all your action figure review needs. And by the way, yay! The Braves actually broke their losing streak and beat the Mets tonight. Thank you, Jesus.
The Phillies have won 4 in a row.
Well done.
I know, right?
We'll see, you know, how they fare when they face.
Don't even, please. You're going to kill my 4 game winning streak with that, really?
Yes. And on that note,
you know.
Well, I used to be the kind of person spending time on MySpace until the spammers ended up taking over my place, and I was so bitter. Until I found Twitter, ooh, a place where
you can go ahead and write what you're feeling. 140 characters or less is what you're giving. My addiction starts to climb. I go to refresh my timeline, 'cause I won't stop tweeting. No more, no more. It cannot wait, I'm sure.
This is what happens when I move home, is because I start paying attention to the hometown team again. He gets shit.
Well, that... anyway, just... you know, go. Tweet a week, go.
Really? You're just going to sit there and pout?
Did it really stop you in Salt Lake?
No, but most of the time you had to tell me when they were playing.
Now you should just know.
Yeah, now I just know because I listen to the radio here and they tell me when the Braves are playing the Phillies. It's awesome. Anyway...
Tweet
of the week.
You're first.
DiGiorno Pizza, because again, it's the only Twitter that has been funny lately. At least to me.
At least to you.
Why is Kane running all these errands for the authority? Kane, chokeslam this guy. Kane, hold the ladder. Kane, feed me pizza. I wish.
Kane, feed me pizza.
Here's a little poem I wrote. Hashtag Roman is raw. Pizza is delicious. If Rollins doesn't cash in his money in the bank, I'd be a little suspicious. Oh my god, imagine the look on Dean Ambrose's face if you left his pizza in the oven for too long. Hashtag Ambrose versus Orton. If you're waiting for CM Punk to come back, I wouldn't hold your breath, because you can't eat pizza when you do that. Ha 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 ha. No, seriously. Hashtag things more likely than Brazil winning the World Cup. CM Punk coming back.
That's a good one.
And that's all I got.
That's all you got? Alright. So for my tweet of this week, we have a very wide selection of them. As, you know, always is the case. So we'll start with... start with Renee Young. Happy Canada Day to my darling homeland. Thank you for being born, plaid shirts, Clamato juiced, apologetic people, and John Candy. Hashtag A. Agent Smith at TSA.gov. If Tim Howard was a TSA agent, none of your balls would get through security. Al Snow. I'm trying to be more environmentally friendly these days. I just go around my local park complimenting the trees. That's nice of him. You know, that's really nice of him, if you think about it. So my next one involves a picture that I'm sending to you right now, because, well...
I was going to say you got quiet for a second. I thought my internet dropped.
No, I'm trying to send you a picture at the moment. So the next one goes... from Tommy Dreamer. Don't know who I should buy this for, Steve Austin or James Storm. And what it is, it's redneck wind chimes with beer cans hanging from a wooden board. James Storm replied, I got first dibs and I'll trade you 20 White Castles. So I think James Storm is getting the wind chimes. Renee Young, breaking news! Ronda Rousey can beat up all your dads.
She can.
Heel book. Dixie will not be watching Raw tonight. It reminds her of how close she was to signing Emma last week. Domino Cliff Compton. I have not watched Raw in years. I'm flattered some guy dresses like Domino. You know, Dean.
Mm-hmm.
Vince Russo. Why does it feel like Cena doesn't have any friends? Maybe they should book him on Dr. Phil. The Buzzards. How did we know Quiet Wyatt was the name of our 80s hair metal cover band? Hashtag Raw. Hashtag Follow the Us. CM Punk. The sexual tension between Hillary and David on Love It or List It is bananas. B-A-N-A-N-A-S.
I lost it at that tweet.
So did I, because, well, someone's turned me on to that channel.
It's like, oh my god, he's watching HGTV! Holy
right?
shit!
Right? Yeah, that's a whole other story for another day. CM Punk, what kind of name is Philip? Laughed my ass off. Tweeted to me by a cunt named Landon. Nice, CM Punk. Nice. Tommy Dreamer, me and WWE Kidman wrestled real Bobby Roode and a partner in Raw Montreal. Partner dropped Billy on head. We pushed for Bobby to get hired. Nope. Billy Kidman, thus the end of hashtag Creamer connection to Tommy Dreamer and Bobby Roode on that tweet. Let's see. Next one goes. Advisory, Agent Smith. Advisory. New international TSA regulations require electronic devices be powered on and open to your private pics. Ouch. They're really doing a search there. The John Report. Wrong one. Let's see. Next one. Dolph Ziggler. Heel Ziggler. It's 5:30 a.m. I'm in Tokyo hotel room watching Argentina versus whoever they played. World Cup. Also, there is a Ferris wheel and a roller coaster outside. You should be on the Ferris wheel and the roller coaster and not watching soccer. Just pointing that one out. Dolph Ziggler, halftime. Gonna hit up a vending machine for a beer and some panties. Hashtag Japan Tour. Hashtag World Cup. Yeah. Again, Dolph Ziggler, you should be outside with the Ferris wheel and the roller coaster, not watching soccer in your hotel room. Dolph Ziggler, my toilet has speakers so I don't miss any of the game. Also told me to get the rash checked out. Hashtag Japan Tour. Rockstar Spud. Impact Wrestling official Rockstar Spud. I'm with Spud t-shirt. Now on sale. Vince Russo replied, you should send me one free for all the time I put you over. Spud was like, absolutely not. We're running a business here. Vince Russo tweeted, cheapskate. And that, Lindsay, was once again Tweet of the Week. They're here.
Not planned. Completely not planned.
But they're here.
They are here. That's right. It is now the Wyatt portion of the show. Yes, I know you've been all waiting with eager, bated breath for this. Not really. I have.
So have I. It's going to be fun. It's been 1 year since they've debuted.
Yes, it's official. The Wyatt family has been on the main roster, and oh my goodness, how they have changed. If you don't believe me, go back and watch those first promos by Bray Wyatt, and go watch how he's talking now. It's completely different. But before we kind of talk about their first year, let's talk about the question of the night, which is, of course, what is your favorite moment from the Wyatt family in their first year in WWE? And I think we got some responses to this.
We did get some responses to this one. Rob, a few of them go, Rob Van Dam's that ass on Tumblr went, last year's SummerSlam with Kane. NIK1216 goes, my favorite moment is when they had a feud against the Shield, my dream match, LOL. Human pathetic or some pathetic or something like that on Tumblr went. Feud with Cena, can't stand him, but regardless of perception, it elevated Bray, not buried him. Beating Brian clean, close second. Won that feud. There are just a couple of responses. A couple people have talked more about the John Cena one. A couple people have talked about the Wyatts versus the Shield. But I ask you this question, since you are the Wyatt expert of the panel.
Oh, please.
Since it's a whole two-person panel.
Right.
What is your favorite Wyatt moment?
My favorite Wyatt moment? Oh, God, there's so many. I'm going to have to go with moment and not match, but moment is the choir.
Damn it!
Brain, I'm telling you, one brain. When he showed up with the choir, because it was just so unexpected, and there's just that image of Bray Wyatt laughing maniacally as he has a child in a sheet mask on his knee. It's just it's burned into your retina. You can't forget it. Because it was one of those moments where it just cemented Bray as this just psychotic, evil son of a bitch. And you loved him for it.
Uh-huh.
Because you just saw Cena standing there, and Cena had lost all the color in his face, and he looked like he was about ready to hurl. Because it's like, there he is, surrounded by this children's choir, they're all in sheet masks, and there's Bray Wyatt with, like, basically, hey, I've got your fan base. I've got them right here, and they're mine. He's doing the same thing to Jericho right now. And it's just something of, your people, the people that you think are on your side, they're not. They're on my side. They're listening to me. They're following me, not you.
So basically,
he's got the whole world in his hand. He's got the whole world in his hand.
Yes. And we also get to hear Bray Wyatt sing, which is always fun to hear Bray Wyatt sing. But yeah, so since I stole the choir, do you have another moment?
I would... The sheet mask. What was the sheet mask when John Cena... The screech happened, and it was Luke Harper versus John Cena on Monday Night Raw. The screech happens, everyone's like, what the hell? Screech comes back, lights come back. John Cena is tied up in the ropes with the mask on, the sheet mask on. That was a pretty, pretty cool moment.
That was awesome. Another good one, the Wyatt Shield stare down.
Wyatt Shield stare down was a really good one, and we'll get into that, yeah. Here, so, let's take everyone back to, you know, some interesting times for the Wyatt family, because it was 1 year ago on Tuesday that they made their official debut in WWE as a collective trio, where they attacked Kane and, you know, basically set on their mission to first feud with Kane, which we'll get into here in a second. But I want to go back before their official debut. Okay?
Okay.
So when did you first see Bray Wyatt? Was it like May 24th?
Yeah, it was May 24th in Salt Lake City.
The first promo aired on May 27th.
Yeah, it was funny because I didn't know who he was. And he faced Zack Ryder and we were at the show.
Hold on. Bray Wyatt Battleground promo just appeared on TV.
Woohoo!
Just putting it on that. Anyway, as you were saying.
But yeah, he came out and he was talking and we didn't know who he was. And it was like he didn't get much of a reaction. And he came out in these god-awful orange pants. And yeah, I remember him, and he made an impression on me, and then it's like, you showed up on TV, and I'm like, because when we're talking to Mace about it, because Mace was like, oh, Bray Wyatt was there.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, okay. And then I started looking up Bray Wyatt, and it's like seeing the stuff he'd done in NXT, because prior to the network, here in the States, we don't get NXT. We can't see it.
Unless you had Hulu Plus, and Hulu Plus sucks.
Yeah, unless you have Hulu Plus, or you watch it on Daily Motion, or you could find it on YouTube. So it's really kind of a pain in the butt to find NXT prior to the network, which is what makes the network so awesome, is because now we can see NXT, and we can see all the people that the international community is talking about.
Get the WWE Network, it's awesome. If you like the free trial, get it, buy it. It would help, you know, help the wrestlers out big time at this point.
But anyway, so I didn't know who Bray Wyatt was, and I started looking him up, and then it's like the promo started airing, and it's like, I just remember the impression of, where the hell was this guy? And we saw him in Salt Lake, because it was like, he was by himself, he didn't have the family. I think that was one of the first tours he had gone out on.
He was just starting out, I think, for a couple of weeks on the house shows.
Yeah, and then he came back, and then I think they sent him and the kids out together because they were getting ready to make their debut, and that's when they were going on the road together, and so they sent Bray out first, and then I think they actually sent Rowan and Harper out, and then they sent all three together. I think that's how that worked. Or Rowan and Harper went on one tour and Bray went on another. I don't know.
And they sort of started combining them, yeah.
Yeah. But So I actually got to see Bray Wyatt live before he ever debuted, and then I actually got to see Rowan and Harper this past year when I went to the show in Salt Lake. And it's just, it's kind of cool to see how they've changed over the time as well. But yeah, so May 24th, I got to see Bray Wyatt, and then May 27th, the promo started airing for the Wyatt family, and everybody lost their shit, because, oh my god, it's the Wyatt family. They're coming up to the main roster, and the gimmick looked really cool.
Again, NXT was hard to come by. It was just, well, this is intriguing. This got me intrigued. I'm kind of curious to see what they can do and what they're all about. So they made their debut on July 8th on Monday Night Raw, as I said, attacking Kane. Then they continued, you know, week in and week out. They attacked a few other people. And then they started sending the cryptic message known as "Follow the Buzzards." And the first feud with Kane, which sort of left people going, because Kane's first match, Bray Wyatt's first match was against Kane in a Ring of Fire match that was the best way to put it is not the smartest idea to start with for his first match, as we clearly can tell the way his in-ring style has gone.
That really should have been the capstone to that feud, and I still believe in my heart of hearts that feud was supposed to go longer than it did, but because Kane had other stuff going on outside of WWE, he was leaving shoot See No Evil 2, he had speaking engagements, that kind of thing, right after SummerSlam, that they just went ahead and said, screw it, and they did the Ring of Fire match, and Kane left. And that was the excuse to write Kane off TV. That or they just threw it together. But I always wanted, and I still want, to see a continuation of that feud. And I want closure to that feud. Because I think that actually could have been a really cool feud, especially for Bray to play mind games against Kane and vice versa. Because those two characters are very similar.
Right. The biggest moment that you remember from the Kane feud is the beheading of Kane before dragging him off at SummerSlam.
Yeah, that was almost better than the match, because the crowd was just silent. You could have heard a pin drop. Because it's like, they all started chanting for The Undertaker to come save his brother, and Taker didn't come. And Kane got, you know, virtually beheaded before the Wyatt family drug him off. And that's the other thing, is we have never gotten an explanation as to what happened, as to where Kane went, because they never said Kane was found. It wasn't like Daniel Bryan, where the Wyatt struck him off and then they left him in a parking lot somewhere. They drug Kane off and nobody knew where Kane was. And that's one of my biggest gripes about that feud, is, you know, Bray kind of explained it, where he said Kane made his bed and now he's burning in it. And everybody kept asking, where's Kane? And nobody in that company looked into it. It's like you have a guy that loves to set people on fire. He's a psychopath, missing, you know, and he's in the hands of another psychopath who can brainwash people, or braywash people in this case, and convince them to do whatever he wants them to do. Don't you think that's just a little bit dangerous?
You would assume, just point that out.
Don't you think that somebody would go looking for Kane?
If I was in charge, I would.
I mean, you know, just, oh hey, you know, this crazy cult guy that just showed up took out Kane of all people, and drug him away like a sack of potatoes, and we haven't seen him since. You know, that I would just be a little concerned. So that's like my biggest gripe about that feud, is it's like nobody addressed it, nobody cared, and what was worse is nobody was afraid of him.
Right, and Bray Wyatt got off to an awkward start at that point, because then he feuded with, I believe, Kofi Kingston.
Mm-hmm.
And then he entered in a feud with The Miz, which had a really good promo where they actually captured The Miz, and he was seen laid out backstage, like, with his shirt ripped open and writing on his chest, which was a really cool promo that they did.
Oh, that was a great promo. Yeah, but unfortunately, the feud with Kofi, Bray had a bad showing against Kofi.
Just in a mix. He just couldn't find himself in that one.
He doesn't do well against high flyers because he just doesn't work well with that style, I don't think. They put him in with The Miz. I would have liked to have seen something in between Bray and Miz, but unfortunately Bray got hurt, which was probably, looking back, the best thing to happen to him because it put him on the shelf for about 6 weeks.
And it then allowed the boys to finally take spot center stage as they actually feuded going into the Survivor Series with Daniel Bryan and CM Punk.
And that's where business started to pick up just a little bit. Although that was another great moment just for me and anybody that knows who Bray Wyatt really is and who he was before he was Bray Wyatt, to have him walk out and look at CM Punk and go, I've waited a long time for this. My name is Bray Wyatt.
Mm-hmm. And this sort of feud, then we had the Wyatt family lose to Punk and Bryan, which you kind of figure would happen. But the Wyatt family then turned their attention directly on Daniel Bryan. And this feud allowed us to have funny moments in the history of the Wyatt family, at least to me and Lindsay. Because speaking of moments, there was this one moment on SmackDown. Ashes, ashes, we all fall splat.
Splat. You don't know what we're talking about. It's where the Wyatts jump Daniel Bryan backstage. And Rowan and Harper are dragging Bryan towards a loading dock. And Bray drops to his knees with his back to where Rowan and Harper are doing all this, so he's not even seeing it. And Rowan and Harper are clearly waiting for their cue, which is basically where he's going, ashes, ashes, we all fall. They push Bryan off the loading dock, and it's just Brian's face where he's like, oh, crap. And then you just hear splat.
I segued over into TLC. Let's go to TLC. Daniel Bryan versus the Wyatt family in a really good handicap match.
Oh God, they beat Bryan like a damn drum.
They did, and this was the first real big victory I think this was Bryan's first real match back.
Yeah, this was the 3-on-1, where this was Bray's first match back, or at least on pay-per-view after the injury. I think they had sort of eased him back in, because it's like they took him out of Hell in the Cell, they took him out of Survivor Series, though he was at Survivor Series when the boys lost, and he punched the wall. And then he came back in TLC, and they had the 3-on-1 against Bryan. And there was some really nice storytelling. If you aren't familiar with this feud, if you didn't see it for whatever reason, basically Bray Wyatt wanted Daniel Bryan. He wanted to adopt Daniel Bryan and bring him into the family. And this match, and so they basically, in typical Wyatt fashion, we actually got to see how they sort of gather, I guess would be the appropriate word, followers. They don't go seeking Bray, he goes seeking them in some cases.
He acquires family members.
And he was trying to acquire Daniel Bryan, and of course part of that is they just literally beat you into submission until you finally agree. And that's what this match really was, and also it helped the Authority, who was also trying to beat Daniel Bryan down and get him out of the title picture, and so you had Bray Wyatt going after Daniel Bryan, and literally they were beating Bryan in submission.
And we ended 2013 with Bray Wyatt getting Daniel Bryan to finally say he's going to join the family.
He was so happy.
He was. He just gave up and joined the family at the end of it as for the final Raw of 2013. That was a nice way to end the year for the Wyatts. Think about it. They were in the company 6 years, and on the final Raw of 2013, 6 years in?
6 months.
6 months. I don't know why I said year. 6 months in?
So you end 2013 with Bray Wyatt getting his way. He's getting Daniel Bryan to come into the fold. He's so excited. And I just remember that that moment when Daniel Bryan was like, fine, I'll do it. I'll join the family. And everybody was like, oh my God, Bryan, no. Like, it was literally that whole holy shit moment. And then, like, they took Daniel Bryan away. And he did the walk of shame. And everybody was trying to figure out what was going to happen. Were we going to see Daniel Bryan? And, of course, he didn't show up that next week, I think, on Raw.
No, he was
SmackDown.
He was back the next week on Raw in the jumpsuit, remember?
Oh, that's right, that's right. He wasn't on SmackDown. Bray and Bryan weren't there at SmackDown. The kids were. Bray and Bryan weren't.
No.
But everybody was trying to figure out, well, what was Bryan going to look like? What was he going to wear? You know, how was he going to act? The whole deal. It's like, are we going to get to see kind of how Bray Wyatt brainwashes people?
Right.
And unfortunately, we never got to see that, as the WWE Universe kind of revolted a little bit. And Daniel Bryan's popularity sort of took off at that point.
This was the start of the Yes Movement.
This was the start of the Yes Movement, and they pulled Daniel Bryan out basically 2 weeks after being in, 2 or 3 weeks after being in the Wyatt family, which then took them to the Rumble, where Bray and Bryan had an absolutely fantastic match, and we'll get into that in a minute. But again, this feud left me wanting. I know it's not done, but I wanted to see more. I wanted to see Bryan back at the compound. I wanted to see how they bring people into the family, or at least Bryan expose that. Because if you think about it, in terms of people that we know went back with Bray Wyatt, you know, to the house and to the compound and lived with him and were surrounded by the family, Bryan has the best perspective on that. And character-wise, he would have seen that. So for a dork like me who loves character development, Bryan could have used a lot of that if they wanted to. If they wanted to actually write that out for Bray Wyatt, what it's actually like with him, you know, what the house is like, what, you know, are there other family members, how they operate, kind of expose Bray Wyatt for, you know, a fraud or a charlatan that he's been accused of being. And they didn't seize that opportunity. Now, they might later, but, you know, in terms of the Wyatts, it's like they never had Bryan seize that opportunity, especially when it's like, well, I infiltrated the Wyatts to take down Bray Wyatt. It was all part of my plan. Well, it's like, well, then you've got the most dirt that anybody has on Bray Wyatt, because nobody knows anything about him.
Nope.
And the fact that he gave you that level of access, because Bryan would have been right there with them the whole time. So he would have seen that. He would know all that. But for whatever reason, they didn't do it. And then they also kind of... Bryan never learned quite how to obey.
No, which you can view at behance.net/LenceWord.
Yeah. But I thought for a second Luke was going to skin his ass alive a couple times.
He may have. But it led into, I would say, one of the top three Bray Wyatt matches ever so far in his career. And that was the Royal Rumble between him and Daniel Bryan, where you finally established Bray Wyatt as a legit threat, because he beat Daniel Bryan on his own. He beat the guy. He beat Mr. Yes Movement. He beat the guy who won at WrestleMania and become the WWE World Heavyweight Champion. He beat the New People's Champion at the Royal Rumble.
And he's the only one to date in 2014 to have done it.
He is the only one to have done it, which was really impressive. It was like, holy crap, they're building Bray Wyatt up to be something big. Big, big time.
Yeah, to see Bray Wyatt go over clean, it was the big one he needed. And it was just, it's a really, really phenomenally good match. You can tell that Daniel Bryan clearly led the match. He clearly walked Bray through it. Because Bray just probably doesn't have that skill yet. But you saw the potential. You saw how much he had improved, especially since working with someone like Bryan. who has all that experience and knowledge, and probably he learned a great deal from. And it's something of the storytelling, the physicality, the emotion, the selling. It was all there. And it was beautiful. It's just a great match to go back and watch. I mean, I've watched it probably 10, 15 times since it happened. It's just that good of a match to me. Because I love how they did it.
Right.
And yeah, I would say it's probably, I would say for me, it's number one. The Shield match was good, but in terms of solo matches, the Bryan match is number one. Followed by Payback. But number one in terms of just actual wrestling is Bryan and Bray. But yeah, you could tell it's like when they had Bray Wyatt defeat Daniel Bryan clean at the Royal Rumble, that it's like, okay, they're targeting him for something bigger. Because, see, they gave him a big win on pay-per-view, which means he's moving up.
And an hour later, we saw where he was moving to, as he interfered, him and his boys interfered in the WWE World Title match between Randy Orton and John Cena, and they laid out John Cena after the match.
Yes, yes, they did.
Which led to the John Cena feud.
But before they got to John Cena,
they had some unfinished biz-eyeness with the Shield.
Oh my god, you want to talk about a feud.
Let's go back. Right. Let's go back. Before, go ahead, finish your thought. Sorry.
No, not necessarily a feud, but a match. Jesus Christ.
But let's go back a few months, shall we? To jolly old England. A showdown of showdowns. Wyatt Family Shield. They brawl. The people go nuts. Then they teamed up.
Mm-hmm. Which was hilarious.
That the Shield and Wyatt Family teamed up. So everyone, they started teasing. Will they go? This was right before Survivor Series. Will they team up? Will they go at each other? Will we see this feud? And we saw this match at Elimination Chamber. The stare downs leading up to it, because they didn't touch, they had stare downs. Which was awesome. Really, really awesome.
Yeah. Oh, you could literally have cut the tension with a knife. I mean, God, it was so well done.
It really, really was. So you had that. You had the great match at Elimination Chamber. Wyatt Shield won.
By the way, one of my favorite moments, just in terms of comedy, was you have the Wyatts and the Shield staring each other down, and I think Ambrose and Rollins went for the suicide dive while Roman and Bray were still in the ring, and Bray just kind of looked at Roman, and he's like, okay, that's how you're going to play this. Got it. Like, you could tell Bray Wyatt was trying to figure the Shield out.
And the Wyatt family got the huge win over the Shield.
Yeah, they did. In spectacular fashion.
Which we all thought, oh, that would lead to the Shield breakup, but that actually made the Shield stronger.
Stronger, in quotations.
For a couple months, at least. We then had Wyatt Shield 2 on Raw, which was really, really good. But we started on the road to WrestleMania, John Cena versus Bray Wyatt. They did some great things building up the WrestleMania.
Oh, they did some fantastic things. You had Wyatt interfere in the main event of the Elimination Chamber, and he cost Cena the match, which then led to, you know, Wyatt coming out on the next night on Old School Raw and cutting the promo on Cena. And Cena, that's when Cena made the match. Or actually, no, that wasn't right after, but it was like a week or two after. And then they built, and it's like you had the stuff with the choir. You had Bray wearing Cena's gear.
You had Bray Wyatt interrupt John Cena in a Hulk Hogan promo.
Yep.
That happened. That's when they made the match for WrestleMania. We had the demon-possessed child at Extreme Rules. The cage match itself, we'll not even talk about that, because that just we've talked.
That was just okay. That wasn't my favorite match. The Mania match was just okay. The cage match was just okay.
I really liked the Mania match. I thought Bray went over and would have made a great, better match. But I actually enjoyed the Mania match for the storytelling.
The storytelling was really good. I just wish there was a little less storytelling and a little bit more wrestling. But that's just me. But I thought between the two, the Mania match was better than the Extreme Rules match. But yeah, it's just, I would have liked to have seen Bray go over at Mania, but I understand why they did it the way that they did it, because of the thing. So,
when my client Brock Lesnar, anyway.
Yeah, just anyway, but yeah, so, and then we went to Payback.
Last Man Standing.
Where John Cena and Bray Wyatt beat the ever-living crap out of each other all over the arena. I believe in Chicago, the Allstate Arena.
No, wait.
The crowd was going wild for it, and Bray Wyatt ended up losing when he got locked in a box.
Yeah, he got locked in a box. Wonder what he does. What do you do when you're locked in a box?
Take a nap.
I guess. It's all you really can do.
You know, if we ever interview The Undertaker, we can ask him.
He's been in many boxes.
We can ask him. It's like, well, what did you do? Did you just take a nap or what?
But he also has teleporting powers. Well, so does Bray. So.
Yeah, Bray does too. So, you know. But I would say the Payback match was really good.
Oh, yeah, it was a great match.
I think with the Cena feud, I was really disappointed. Because I expected, it's like you did some really great things to build it, and you saw Bray grow as a character, and it definitely elevated him to work with Cena, but it didn't. He's kind of in where he was before WrestleMania. He's kind of in that same place. It didn't help him, but it didn't hurt him. It got him on the show for WrestleMania, which is great. We got some good matches out of it, but it's, you know, it's like to have him lose that feud against Cena, just. Yeah, I don't think it did really anything for him. And it's like, I get why he had to lose against Cena, because Daniel Bryan got hurt at that point. They were looking to put the title on Cena, and he had to be strong. But at the same time, it's like, you could have had Cena put Bray Wyatt over. Because if you think about it, Cena is the only person who've ever pinned Bray. It happened at WrestleMania, and the one time that Bray beat Cena, it wasn't by pinfall. It was by escape.
Right.
So it's just like, it just, to me, it kind of hurt Bray. In my eyes, it hurt Bray more than it helped him, and it definitely stopped his momentum.
I would disagree. It has helped him. It helps. It's elevated him. Would a win help bigger and more? Yeah, but the win with the lack of a pinfall victory hurt. But he's in a better position than he was. Because he's now a main eventer.
He's now a main eventer, but it's just, yeah, they could have done better things for him in that feud. I think they could have done him better than what they did. That's just my personal opinion on it, and I'm extremely biased. Because I wanted to see him win. I wanted to see him get that big victory over Cena, because I think it would have done more for him than what losing did, obviously. But he's getting Jericho now, so I'm hopeful that Jericho will put him over.
Hopefully Jericho will put him over, and the boys are looking like they're going to become the next WWE Tag Team Champions. And in 1 year, you started as an opening guy on house shows to feud, coming right into a feud with Kane. Slowing down, getting injured, and then you were in one of the top three matches at WrestleMania.
And you got a title shot in your first year.
Well,
he was in the Money in the Bank.
He was in Money in the Bank, the WWE World Heavyweight Championship match. He hasn't got the one-on-one yet, but he'll get that at some point.
He was in that match. He technically did get a shot at the title in his first year. That's pretty good. And then you had the kids get the tag team title shot.
We talk about Big Four, Survivor Series, Rumble, SummerSlam, WrestleMania. Bray Wyatt, 4 months in, they were featured on the Survivor Series poster 4 months in.
And he's on the Battleground poster.
He's on the he's solo featured on the Battleground poster. He was on the WrestleMania poster.
Yeah, Boo has come a long way, just in terms of that. But I kind of want to also just quickly, because I know people, I'm sure, are tired of this since we did the whole year in review, but I kind of want to talk about the change in the character.
Okay, well, that's what I wanted to ask you the question. How do you think he's evolved in the last year?
I like that he's gone from being more crazy to being more diabolical, if that makes sense. Like, he's still crazy, and we know he's crazy.
But he saves that more for the ring.
He saves that more for the ring. And when he's cutting the promos, he cuts it in this very soft, soothing voice, and he gets loud when he needs to. But most of the part, he's very soft, he's very soothing, he's trying to pull people in, and he's trying to draw people in. And as he's developed and as he's kind of grown, you're seeing a sophistication coming in the way that he's delivering the promos, in the way that he's acting and talking, because he's not being crazy Bray. He's being more sinister, more diabolical, more evil.
He's found himself in the last year.
He's found himself in the last year, and he's starting to... Like I said, I think Daniel Bryan was the point. Not that I don't think anybody heard it. But to me, Daniel Bryan, that feud, was the feud where Bray Wyatt hit his stride and started to click on all cylinders. And it continued as they feuded with Shield and then with John Cena. It's going further with Chris Jericho. As he's moving up the ranks, he's working with better talent that has plenty of knowledge that they can impart on him. And with each person that he works with, he gets better. Like, he's gotten so much better in the ring. He's gotten, you know, if it's even possible to imagine, he's gotten better on the mic. Because the thing is he now has, they've started really the Bray movement, or the Buzzard movement, whatever you want to call it, where when they went over to England this last time, after Mania, people started holding up their cell phones when he came out. And now it's a thing with the lights. Every time you see Bray Wyatt or the boys walk out, lights everywhere, all over the arena. It's an experience. It's like we said with Brian Shields last week. He's a goddamn rock star.
He is a rock star. It is the Bray Wyatt experience. His entrance is a thing. It's a movement. It's like you want to hold up your phone. You want to hold up whatever and just sway along with the music. You want to be a part of it.
And I think the thing that Bray has figured out how to do the best is he's figured out how to connect to people, because it's the way that he talks and it's what he says in his promos. And if you really listen to his promos, he's saying a lot of things about society in general that are true. You know, where it's particularly in the one where he's standing up for the, you know, the rejects, for the people who don't fit in, for the, you know, he does it for the girl that wasn't pretty enough to be the prom queen. That doesn't mean that she still isn't beautiful, but in society's view, she's not. You know, it's just it's what he says, and the fact that he's getting people behind him, and for all the nonsense he talks sometimes, he does make sense others. And it's really kind of cool to see how spot on he can be sometimes with his promos. And that's just, again, that's that level of sophistication that's coming with him, where he knows how to craft a promo, but now he's got writers working with him on these promos to help him make them better, to make them stronger.
Pretty much. I can't add anything more to that, pretty much.
But what do you think about the growth of the kids?
See, they, for a while, they were really just background players, and the one kid, don't even really call him kid, but for this we will, Luke Harper, Eric Rowan, not so much. They haven't fully developed him, but you kind of see more of him lately. But the guy who really has developed in a year is Luke Harper. You've seen him take more of a leadership role, especially when it comes to being a part of the tag team of him and Eric Rowan. You see, he's been given a chance to talk. He's been given a chance to really develop his personality, if that's even, you know, something you were even looking at a year ago. Luke Harper is going to be a standout star, and he's come a long way in a year. They all have. Really, they all really have. You know, you bring up Eric Rowan and Luke Harper, and again, it goes back to moments we talk about. I remember the steel cage. It was Bray Wyatt and Daniel Bryan versus the Usos, right?
Right.
And Eric Rowan's climbing up the cage, and he's looking like a turtle.
Yeah, where he's just like, Bray!
Yeah, so just thinking back, and you just think of awesome moments. And they're full of awesome moments throughout the full year for the Wyatt family. But yeah, the boys have evolved. They've become their own people now. If that's even a good thing, I think it is. I think it's good that they're able to stand out on their own, because for a while they needed Bray Wyatt. They still need Bray Wyatt, and he should always be with them. But it's nice to see that they finally fully established them as a team, and they're actually a legit threat. Before it was like, oh, he's just got two big guys. Now when you let them actually go in the ring, they're a threat to be dealt with. And that's awesome to see, because they could be a dominating team for a long, long time.
Oh, yeah. Well, and I think, you know, kind of going back to Eric, we're seeing more of Eric's personality, and we're seeing it come out. And there are really two sides of Eric Rowan's personality, and I think that's how they're going to play it, is there's the Eric Rowan when the mask is on, where he seems almost like a child. He's very childlike. He needs that guidance, and he looks to Luke for that guidance. Luke is his big brother who looks out for him. You know, Luke even has referred to him in the past as a little brother.
Right.
And so he looks to Luke for guidance both in the mask and out of the mask. And then there's the Eric when the mask comes off, where he's still childlike, but he's aggressive, where he just mauls people. And that's kind of an interesting way to play it. And if you see Eric Rowan live, because you don't catch it on TV, because there's so much going on TV, and he doesn't really do it at TV, but it's like he does things, like he talks to the mask.
Oh, they need to get him a new mask, because that thing is beat to all hell. Just point that one out.
I'm sure they're trying to source one, but they're probably going to keep that one for a while. Which, incidentally, it's only held together by, like, duct tape and sheer will.
I think it's more duct tape and gum at this point than actual plastic on the mask.
Probably. But, you know, it's Eric talks to the mask. Like, you see the way that the family dynamic is set up is Bray deals with Luke. Bray deals with Eric. Eric only deals with Luke. If you actually see him, he doesn't look Bray in the eye. He doesn't, you know, it's like when Bray Wyatt defeated Daniel Bryan. Luke came out, he was all excited, he's patting Bray's back, he's shaking his shoulder. Eric walks up and just squeezes Bray's shoulder and walks away. You can tell that Eric kind of has a reverence or fear still of Bray Wyatt. So Eric's still a work in progress for Bray. Luke's good. Luke's where Bray wants him to be, and Luke is by far the general for Bray Wyatt, where he is the second in command. And as we've seen, if anything happens to Bray, Luke takes charge. And that will be ultimately what happens when there's a rift in the family, is there Luke and Bray are going to come to heads. Where it's when Luke figures out he doesn't need Bray.
Right.
But at the same time, he does need Bray because Eric needs him. Because Luke can't always watch Eric, and that's why Bray's usually at ringside, is so Bray can tell Eric what to do when Luke can't. So it's an interesting dynamic.
It is a very interesting dynamic.
So let me ask you this.
Okay.
What would you like to see in 2014?
For the rest of the year, I'd like to see the boys get the belts. We'll talk more about that next week in our Battleground preview. Spoiler, it's happening next week. So get your picks ready. I'm talking to you, King Kins. Get the sheet ready.
If he's listening.
We'll get sidetracked. A little quick sidetrack. You know, he usually joins us live, and he's off doing something else this evening, so he'll be listening to this archive.
Oh.
So, like, you know, we talked about this, and we were going to be nice. We were going to actually play the horn at proper tonight. But since, you know, he decided to pull an ace and not show up tonight, no horn. Just pointing that one out.
He called it, not me. Pointing that out.
So, just anyway, sidetrack, because he'll curse us when he listens to that part, because he mentioned it in a tweet, so I'm just going to continue from there. Anyway, what I would like to see for the rest of 2014, I want to see Bray Wyatt established as the number two or three heel in the brand. Yes, I know he's sort of there now, but I want to see him as the number two or three guy on the brand in the next year. Not by the end of this year, by this time next year, I would like to see him in that position. I want to see him win feuds. I want to see him continue the rise. He rose to the top with John Cena, but came back down. Chris Jericho will be a nice rise back up. Where he goes from there is up to the WWE creative. I like to keep him a heel. Don't turn him face yet, because that's down the road, and let that happen organically. Don't try to force it. I don't want them, and stop, don't try to get involved in light gimmick WWE. Let it just happen naturally, please.
Yeah, it happened naturally. Just keep letting it happen naturally.
I want to see that happen. I want to see the boys get the gold. I just want to see them continue on a strong path. And I know in wrestling, the cool thing is to break people up. You don't need to break these guys up for a long, long time, if ever. It's just let them go, let them run. It's always good to have a trio in wrestling, because it's different and unique. Not everyone needs to be the same. What do you want for the rest of the year for them?
I want to see the boys win the tag team titles. I want to see Bray established as a legit threat. He's kind of a threat right now, but he's still kind of sort of not viewed as a joke. I want him to be seen as a legit threat in everybody's eyes in WWE. And for me personally, I want to see more character development. I'd like to, and this is something that they never really do anymore, but part of what drives this is the Undertaker-Kane feud when Kane debuted, where you found out about Kane's past. You found out about the Undertaker's past, about Paul Bearer's past, and what happened to the Undertaker's family and how that all came about. That's kind of what I want to find out with the Wyatts. I want to find out how Luke and Eric found Bray, why they followed him. You know, who was Abigail? Where did Bray Wyatt come from?
Right.
You know, who was Bray Wyatt before he met Abigail? You know, because I think the big question that a lot of times I talk about and I ask is, well, does Bray Wyatt have a family? Does he have, you know, aside from Rowan and Harper, does he have a wife? Does he have kids that maybe, you know, he left to become this person? You know, the same thing goes for Rowan and Harper. You know, do they have siblings? Are their parents still alive? You know, there's so many things you can kind of go into for the storyline that you could establish, and that's the kind of stuff that I really get into in terms of the characters, is when you look at them and you take the characters and you really make them real people. That's the thing, because Bray Wyatt is believable. It's like, you know, you could have him be, you know, an only child, and he was abandoned or whatever, and Abigail found him and took him in, and that's fine, and I'd accept that, but it's like, I'd like to know where he came from, and what makes him, and what makes him really tick. And the same thing goes for Rowan and the Harper, because I think the biggest mystery aside from Bray is, where the hell did they find Eric?
Right. Go ahead.
Like, Luke, we kind of got a little bit where he was a trucker. And they established that in canon one night, I think it was on Main Event, or maybe it was Raw, where they said that Luke Harper was a trucker before he met Bray Wyatt. But we don't know why he followed Bray Wyatt.
Right. So, want some live reaction to what we've been talking about tonight?
Sure.
Got some tweets from Human Iapathic on Twitter. It's been tweeting us throughout the night. A combined first part of humanitarian and psychopathic, sociopathic, rather, choir moment was incredible. P.S. Bray reignited my love for wrestling a year ago. He says, I'm pretty sure they want to keep the process of the Wyatt's / Bray mystery. Once you start explaining it, it takes away from the mystique. I agree with that part if you start really explaining to it, but if you can give us a nice backstory, it would tell a great story. And he goes, Bray speaks truth. It's all about the it's all in the metaphors that rarely people get. Samuel influence evil things for a greater good.
Yes, I would agree with that.
So you can, again, you can interact with us on Twitter and in the chat room and Facebook and stuff like that.
Yes, but on that note, I say we wrap this up for the evening. What about you?
We're pretty good on that one, yeah.
So, you've got stuff to plug,
I
so
do,
plug
I,
away.
I do have stuff to plug as I'm setting up the outro. So here we go. We'll plug that. Tomorrow, Saturday night, midnight, I should see me radio with the weird, the wacky, the unusual. What I can tell you, we won't be interviewing at Midget, but you can go back and listen to our interview with little Stella Marie right now at cbradio.ewazone.com and wildtalkradio.com. Follow that show on Twitter at cbradio.wtr, facebook.com/cigarettebuttsandbandanas. What we will be talking about, Subway got an Xbox 360. He's been playing WWE 2K14. So I assume we're doing Subway's video game talk on CB Radio this Saturday night. Plus, will the part-time player show up? Big question. Tune in, find out. CB Radio midnight-ish for that program. Sunday night is WTR, Sunday night 10 p.m. Eastern with Tim Stein and Mace this week because Omega's off being a geek. Follow that show on Twitter at WTR Sunday night and facebook.com/WrestleTalkRadio. We will be back for Monday Night Raw post show right after Monday Night Raw 11:10, 11:15. Whenever the show is off the air, we'll be on the air right afterwards. Join the live Raw chat at 8 p.m. at wildtalkradio.com. We'd love to hear from you. We will be back next Thursday night at the brand new start time, 10 p.m. Eastern. Follow us on Twitter at WTR_rack and facebook.com/WTRTheRack. You can follow me on Twitter at wildtalkradio and facebook.com/wildtalkradio network. And if you haven't listened to our interview with Brian Shields, what are you waiting for? Go to Wild Talk Radio and RockRadioShow.com right now and download and listen to the interview because, well, it's a big hit.
Yes. Yes, please go listen because Brian's amazing and also buy the book when it comes out September 15th.
Yes.
There you go, Brian.
There's your plug for the night.
But you can follow me on Twitter at LinsWard, LinsWRD. You can go to my website, segwarddesigns.com. Check that out. My Redbubble store is up in the air right now. I've had pretty much all the work pulled down by WWE at this point. But if you'd like to go check it out, you can click on the Contact Us section of my website. And click the link. It will take you to my Redbubble store for what's left. So I have to still look into that and figure out what I can put back up and what I can't. But if you'd like to view my artwork, it is available for your viewing pleasure at Behance.net/LinsWard, same as the Twitter. And, of course, listen to the show 10 p.m. every Thursday night right here on wildtalkradio.com. See? Got it right. And, of course, please visit our fine sponsors, PWMania.com, TNAsylum.com, and Wrestling Figure Wednesdays, YouTube.com/MBG1211. Blech. Sorry, Matt. Didn't mean to screw that up. YouTube.com/MBG1211. There we go.
I give you applause, and then you sort of not really screwed it up.
Well, you know, I got the time of the show right. That's all that matters, damn it. So for Rock, I'm Lindsay Ward. You've been listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will see you next week. Bye.